Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning back in on Sunday Night Live. We're so glad that you are here. It's going to be a fun night tonight. We got Sonia and Aaron Mercer here, and I've got my daughter, Presley. Hey, welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Well, we're here for another Sunday Night Live. We're coming towards the end of May, so this means school year is coming over. We've been through Mother's Day. Graduations are taking place, and we're about to have a summer. So with that being said, anybody have any good plans going on for this summer? I can think of something, but y'all go ahead.
Well, tell them, honey. Tell them what's going down in Chinatown.
Well, we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years of marriage, which we will actually be tomorrow, 25 years.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I mean,
it's tomorrow.
I would never make it.
I thought it was Monday. I'm sorry. So I missed it, didn't I?
So.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Monday.
What are you talking about? Because I don't know what day of the week it is. Anyway, do tell. 25 years.
25
awesome.
Years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we're going to just take a big trip, our family. And
I think that is awesome.
Have fun.
Everybody, kids included.
Kids included. Make memories with them.
That's right.
There will be a day they won't live in our house, and guess what? And then it'll just be us, and we'll take trips just us.
Well, then, yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll come with us.
Oh, yeah, they probably will. Well, okay, so you say you're coming on 25 years of marriage. We've got Presley here. She's not in that category of being married yet. And so what advice would you give her for marriage? Not to put you on the spot here. I've got some red faces going on.
Oh, man.
I mean,
all the advice.
We can take all we can get, right? I mean, 25 years.
25 years. That's nothing to sneeze it out, to dismiss.
That's a big deal.
I don't know. I'd say love big. When Aaron almost died 6 years ago, I think it was the wake-up call that this, you know, there will be a day you wake up for the last time together and enjoy the moments, enjoy those small moments. They don't have to be the big trips. It's all the in-between. We want us a small indoor cornhole board.
Oh, yeah.
And so we as a family, we're playing right there in our little living room. And I think that's probably the biggest deal. Enjoy all the moments in between, because unfortunately there's going to be those negative things that unfortunately you have to deal with. And so it's those little moments that build the marriage.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Aaron, you're not getting out of this.
Well, that's what I always tell people, not just marriage, but everything in life. Most things, and I don't want to take anybody's wind out of their sails, but most things in life don't matter. At the end of the day, 90% of what happens to you in your life, what's going on in your life, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't. And the only thing that matters, this is how I figure out what matters. Three things matter. And that is integrity, destiny, and eternity. And if it doesn't fit into those three things, my character and integrity, my destiny in God, what God's called me to do, and my eternity, it doesn't really matter. So like, if they leave their socks on the floor, so what? You can just literally, you get a dog like mine, my golden doodle eats all the socks.
But
here's the thing. Most things don't matter. And so if you realize, hey, this doesn't matter, so you can enjoy the little things. You can enjoy what's happening. Because at the end of the day, the things that we get frustrated about, most of the time it's not that big of a deal. You know.
And a thing he said many times is, in 10 years, is this going to even be something I think about?
Yeah.
If in 10 years it don't matter, why am I making it a big deal today? Just no reason to.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's probably times when you are thinking about it 10 years from later that you should not be thinking about it anymore. Yeah, you know, let the past be in the past and leave it in the past.
That's right.
Don't bring it to the future.
Amen.
That is right.
So, Presley, did you learn anything from our little bit of advice for marriage? What do we got? Integrity?
Destiny.
Destiny.
Eternity.
And eternity.
Everything else?
Just let it go.
I was thinking about Ecclesiastes. I've been reading in there recently, and everything's just meaningless.
That's right.
That's right.
You got it.
That's it. Right there.
It's all meaningless.
And think about the guy that wrote that, right? He had more money than Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk combined. He had any wife that you can imagine. If he couldn't pick the right wife, nobody could. How many you have? I don't remember. 780 different ones. I'm like, you ain't going to find her, dude. She ain't out there, buddy.
Yeah.
And so he had all that. He had the biggest, he had the most wisdom anybody's ever had, smarter than anybody that ever lived. And if that guy's saying, none of it matters. We probably ought to listen. None of it matters. And so, you know, we just, let's make matter what matters. And then let it all go, you know. It doesn't. It really doesn't, you know. And so...
I like how you said in all of life, because if you think about the three things, integrity,
destiny,
and eternity,
yeah.
If you think about those three things, it can fit in so many areas of your life. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your job. It could be in the things that you like to do for fun. It could be the people that you hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many areas where that is such a good rule of thumb to apply to life.
Yes.
Is that going to bring about those things? Will it bring integrity by me doing these things?
Yeah.
You know, is this going to lead me to my destiny?
Mm-hmm.
And is this something that's going to cause... somebody, you know, to rejoice in eternity. You know, is this going to bring me to...
Or miss eternity.
Or
miss. Who I'm being right now, could I cause somebody else to miss eternity? Because, you know, I'm living however I choose. You know.
Or saying or doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Try on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, so we're coming into the summer here, and one of the things that I was thinking about is... I'm pretty excited for is Cornerstone is taking a team to El Salvador, and we talked about it on the radio show with Mondo and Mandy a couple of weeks ago, but I know that you three are actually going to be a part of that team, and so I just kind of wanted to get your take on that and kind of maybe some of your expectations or just whatever that you may be thinking about this El Salvador trip.
You know, one of the things that I'm excited for Blaze and the rest of the team that has never been on a mission trip to the third world to experience is the miracles that can take place when you're in a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
We see miracles here. I mean, we just prayed for a little baby that got healed in her heart. And one time we prayed, James led prayer over a young lady that had bone cancer. We've seen incredible miracles. We believe miracles happen. In America, we see them. But in the third world, it's a whole different thing because they don't have... what we have, they have to get a healing because they don't have the medical care and all those other things. So you see incredible, bona fide, like blow your mind miracles when you're in the third world. And I know that some of the things we're going to be doing is healing services. And that was one of the things that was life-changing for me. I mean, blind eyes open, things that we saw when Sonny and I went to Saltillo when we were teenagers. But that just blew me away to see... one lady had a huge growth on her neck, and they prayed for her. And I mean, it just like somebody deflated a balloon, and it just got back into her neck. And it just incredible miracle that just like, man, God's real and He's alive. And sometimes we forget that, you know, because we don't see it quite as prevalently here in America as you do when you get to those places.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. It really is a different ministry. It's a whole different feel. And when you go into a third world country, and the truth is they're desperate.
Yeah.
We in America are not desperate. You know what I mean? We have the poorest of the poor is still richer than a third world country.
We have so many resources at our fingertips that we don't even realize.
We don't realize it.
And we're a now. We want it now. You know, we're McDonald's or microwave. That's our mentality here. Over there, they don't have that. They don't have the convenience of what we have. And so it's just ministry as a general rule in a third world country really is a different feel. It's neat to watch. They just believe because that's what you said. And they've got to grab hold of whatever because they're just desperate. And so I heard a story, it's been years ago, but it was somebody that was coming over here from, I think, India. I can't remember. And he was coming to do ministry here in America. And he got off the plane, and he was here for such a short time, and he went back, and he said, the Americans' hearts are so hardened to the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true. When you go to a third world country, you see how different. And I think that's why the miracles take place, the salvations take place. It's more of a revival feel over there than what sometimes we can have because of the mentalities of the Americans. Nothing against an American, but man, you want to see lives transform. Go step onto a third world country.
Didn't you say, so I missed the first meeting. This will be my first mission trip, so I'm excited to experience that, but that Mandy and Mondo were talking about whenever we're going to the service, that they're just in the street saying Jesus is coming, basically talking about us. So it's basically bringing Jesus to them. I just think it's so cool the way they, you know, Jesus is here, everyone gather, you know. Just
and they came running.
Bring Jesus to them.
Yeah, right. They were just coming in groves and coming to hear about this Jesus.
And, you know, honestly, just as great as it is for them people, but you can't help but walk away. You are changed because of what you've seen and the desperation and how these people have submitted to Jesus. It does something to you. It strengthens you. You walk away with a revival that's set down in your heart.
Mm-hmm. You do kind of get comfortable in America, you know.
Yes.
I've never experienced it before, but, you know, in a missions trip, but...
Yeah, I remember when we were in Saltillo, it was such a powerful moment. We were up in this mountain village, and I was with three other guys. It was four of us that were going to do services that night, and a lady wanted to feed us. And then they tell you, you know, don't eat the food or the water, and she had a soup. And she had this, well, I hate telling myself, but she had a pot that would be the size of the bowl I would eat out of, like for my helping. And she scooped that soup out for the three of us, so that we could have a meal. And she, you could tell, like, this, I am so honored sow this to you. And I'm like, I don't want to eat this because I understand this is for you and your family. You're feeding me. We, of course, ate it, but I'm just like, how can we? I mean, we just don't have any idea how blessed we are in America and how the, like you were saying, Natalie, the resources that we have, and to go into those countries and to be able to bring the hope of the gospel. It's just so powerful. And you see those when you go in there with the message of healing and prosperity. You can see how those ministries, they catch fire, and they actually, the ministry we're going to go with, they do such incredible things there because God's Spirit is on there, and it's just really neat. And I believe we're going to see those things in America. I believe that God hadn't forgotten about America. I believe that we're seeing even the start of it now. I think the Great Awakening in America has already begun, and that God, we're not going to be left behind, but I think things like that's going to happen this summer are going to be some of the catalysts for those things.
Amen.
You know, it makes me think about a speaker that I heard talk about a missionary back in the early 1900s was coming overseas to America to be a missionary. And, of course, they landed, you know, came by ship, and he landed in New York, got off. And he looked around, and he got back on that ship and went back, and he said, because he could not, the people would not be able to receive the message that he had.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
And sad.
And you know, when we say that, I know that I live with all of these resources and that I have to be in a constant check of how blessed I am. Mm-hmm. I have to be in a constant check of what favor God has mm-hmm. on us and on America.
Yes.
Yeah. And know that, you know, he is why we are such a blessed country.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And that always, that really checked me back then. And still today, I do. Like, we get angry when they make a mess up our order at Taco Bell. And here this little Spanish lady is giving me what little food she has to bless me. And I'm mad because they gave me a taco, a hard taco instead of a soft taco. You know what I mean? And I'm ticked about it. You know, I'm like, gosh, man, help me to get a perspective of who I am, where I am, and keep my head right, you know. Plus, you don't want to grab too much Taco Bell. Things can get out of hand.
That reminds me of a funny story, but I probably shouldn't tell it. But I'll tell you just a little bit about it. You know, James is actually traveling for work, which is a little bit of a distance. And so in order for him to not have to stop very often, he just thought he would stop and get, what are they, like a 12-pack of burritos or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the story you need to know. But yeah, being on those for a day and a half will not be good for your gut.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of like the awesome gut grenades is what we call them.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, those burritos are yes, pretty good burritos now.
You know, when we went to Ireland 20 years ago, this summer will be, they had some, and I never say it right,
Nicaragua?
Yes.
Oh, Nigerian.
Yes, they had Nigerians. That's what it was. And their people, I mean, the Irish were great too, but the Nigerians, like, we would go into this big gym area and to eat, because we were all on this missions field, and so these people would have cooked, and they were so excited to serve us. As Americans, they're wanting to serve us. And so they would make our plate. And I'll never forget, they had, it's called Maui Maui.
Mui.
And so it's in a plastic, like, sandwich bag, right?
Yeah.
And so you take it out.
Well, first of all, before you tell about it, I think, and I don't, I'm telling you, I think this is the truth. They take a whole fish and an egg, like a raw egg on in shell. Throw it in the egg. Yeah, because there's an egg in the middle of it. It's a boiled egg.
It's an egg, and they put this stuff inside it.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
So they take this whole fish, and they cut, you know, they boil it and stuff. And so you're eating the bones and everything. Like, you'd be a little
sardines. There you go.
And so then they smash it up into this egg.
That's it.
But they put it in a sandwich bag, because when you open that sandwich bag,
it just all spills out.
And it's... the smell.
That's the first thing I was thinking. Yeah. I bet it didn't smell very good.
No. And so, but they're there and they're like, what
they're
do you
so
think?
Blessed,
you know, they're so blessed. And so then you're like, yes. And because that was one of the things on Saltillo, you learn, eat the food, do not drink the water.
Yeah.
Because they just want to bless you. And so it's offensive when you don't eat the food.
Yeah.
And so, because that's their way of being able to be a blessing right back to you.
Yeah.
That is so good. You know, and it makes me think about what Mondo and Mandy had said about the El Salvador trip, or maybe it was in the instructions, whatever. I, unfortunately, am not going to have the opportunity to go. Just not going to work out for me this year, but I still am kind of keeping up with that. But saying how, you know, just go and embrace the culture and embrace the food that they have, and set aside the idea of any kind of food restrictions or diets or anything. And I think that's probably pretty good advice, don't you think?
And honestly, that's what I was just talking to somebody today about. It might have been you. I don't remember. But I just think of how many times we've gone here or there, and I'm like, oh, I can't eat that. And then when me and you went to Israel, I was kind of more in, like, oh no, I've got to eat. And so, do you remember the fish that comes out with the eyeballs? Look at that.
A whole fried fish.
Yes.
Like that, with the fin going up on the plate with the little french fries on the side.
And I never would have done that, but I had decided, no, I want to feel and know and taste what they, you know, what they like and stuff, because there's no way you can walk away. And to be honest, because you had the fish too. I thought it was pretty tasty, honestly.
I thought it was good. Now, I didn't eat the eyeballs.
No, I didn't either. Those eyeballs were still staring at me.
But you know one thing, talking about food, you know, in Israel, the food that they would serve for breakfast is not what we normally would have. Mm-hmm. Now, they did accommodate us Americans and have eggs and, you know, things mm-hmm. that we would be used to eating, but... Didn't you feel like the same? To me, it makes me think more of like what you would hear like the Mediterranean diet.
Yes.
It's all vegetables and mm-hmm. olive oil and things like that.
A much healthier diet.
Much healthier. That and bread. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bread options were amazing.
And their bread was phenomenal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so,
yeah.
And you would have things like, so the Mediterranean, but it was interesting because it was Israel, it was Jewish, it was kosher, and so there was going to be things they were not going to mix that here in America we would think nothing about, you know, mixing this with that. And
mm-hmm.
so there'd be things that, you know, for breakfast or lunch that you're like, well, where is this with it, you know, and no, that's not what they do. And
so to me, that would be neat to just learn just the different ways of them doing those
yes.
things and experiencing it.
Yes. I'll tell you, on our big trip that we're about to take in June, and that's one of the things for an excursion you can do and pay where your family goes in to an Italian's home and they cook a meal and you eat with their family, but you get that whole experience. And I'm like, oh, I'd so love to do that. And then I think, oh, maybe we don't because we got two little boys going. And
do you know. It. Oh, man, I would so do
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be fun? Because you get
cool
to feel the things. Like, you know, I ate mutton in Israel. And to be honest, that's not something I hope to ever eat again.
To be honest, I forgot what that is.
Yeah, lamb. And so remember,
oh.
It's just chewy and...
And so we thought it was okay. Chicken, didn't
yeah.
we?
No, we yeah. thought it was like a hamburger patty, remember?
Oh.
But it was
okay.
Mutton. And so, and it was okay, but... Give me hamburger meat, give me mutton, and I wouldn't take hamburger meat anymore.
Yeah. So, we're Texans, true.
Yeah, true. Right. Give us our beef.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, I think that says a lot to what God's called us to do, is not just preach to people, not just throw messages at people, but get in their life
mm-hmm.
and figure out what makes them tick. And you know, that's what... Pharisees and the religious leaders, that's what they hated about Jesus. Not the things that he said. Some of the things, when he said he was the Son of God, they didn't like that very much. That's kind of what got him crucified. But whenever, they didn't mind Jesus himself, but when he would hang around with these people, oh, he just couldn't bear it. And they would do this certain thing. And so a lot of times in the church, we try to get in and we just want to fix people. We don't want to know you. We don't know anything about you. We just want to fix you because you're screwed up. Whereas I think God's calling us in this day to get in, go into people's homes, go into people's lives, connect with them in a real way. That's what Jesus did. That's why I'm yeah. so effective.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it probably is the most effective. It's messy. It's a much messier way of doing ministry, but people want you to connect. They want you to get in with them.
And it's not as comfortable. You're out of your comfort
you
zone when you're doing those
mm-hmm.
things.
That's right.
And truthfully, people are nasty. Sometimes when you open your life up and you get in there with people and you're trying to love people, they're going to come back at you. They're going to stab you in the back, spit in your face. You know what? That's what they did to Jesus.
Yeah. And so, you know, and the Bible says, why would we think it'd be
different? Why would we think it
for
us?
Right.
So I'm not going to do that. They're going to hurt me. Well, yeah, they probably are. But that's what you're called to go to. You're called to get into it with everybody. And it is messy. And it gets ugly sometimes. But God works through that mess. God works through that ugly.
Hey,
and that's where he's shown. That's where he's known.
Amen.
And so
yes.
That's what we're called to do.
I've been watching The Chosen over again, season 2. And for those of you who have seen, I don't know if any of our listeners have watched any of it, but you know, I know you guys have seen The Chosen, and you know they portray Matthew as
autistic,
yes, and he tends to get on their nerves because of the way he is, because he's very, you know, specific. And I know it's just a show, and they're just, and I'm not saying that's how it was in the Bible, but anyway, and so Mary, you know, goes to town, and Jesus sends Matthew and Peter, the two that cannot seem to be around each other, and he's like, why? And he says, because I want you to.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I want you to. Just
that's right.
You two go. Yeah. Well, why not? Let me take this other one. No, you Matthew and Peter, you go get married. And it's messy. You may not always like the personalities that you're around.
That's right. And gosh, you may not always like the jobs that God asks you to do. I mean, that's happened to me a handful of times in following God. Like, for real? This is who you want me to give to? You know, is this what you want me to do? You know?
I have to be nice to them.
I told this story on Sunday a few weeks ago, that whenever, I think we were married, weren't we? I don't know if we were married yet or fixed to get married, but me and Rex Gregg, who did the bus ministry, we picked up a group of people from the bar in Borger. Outside of Borger, we picked up a group of people from the bar, actively doing things that they people do in bars, right? And this lady was drunk as a skunk, comes in the bus, we take her to the right Bible. Anyway, she gives her life to the Lord, has this glorious experience. Like two Sundays later, she comes up to the platform, says, "Hey, I gave them that offering a couple weeks ago, and y'all took that offering. I got a $25,000 inheritance. I'm from this uncle I didn't even know I had. I got 25 grand, just so pumped up." And even when she was giving this testimony at church, I still don't think she had implemented God's preferences on alcohol consumption, if I could just say it like that, right? And so she's going on and on about this, how excited she was, and I'm sitting over there on the front or second row, just ticked off. Like, what? I just picked this woman up from the bar 2 weeks ago. Now she's getting an inheritance. I've been tithing for a couple of years now.
And working for the Lord for how long?
Working for the Lord? I mean, I ain't never even been in a bar. What's the deal? And I'm ticked off. But here's the thing. God is saying, look, just reach people. Just love people. Just get into it. I'll work out all the details. Right?
Yes. You know, as you're telling that story, it reminds me of a message that I recently listened to. And it was... The title is not that great, but it's The Sin of Comparison.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that he talks about is when we go out and we, and that was one of the examples he gave, you know, and I've been there. I've sowed and not reaped a harvest, but I've seen somebody else sow and reap a harvest. I'm like, wait, what? I'm right here.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, that goes along with that. And he went into talking about the sin of comparison. But what he said is what happens when we can, and this is what really hit me. When you compare yourself with someone, basically what you're saying, I'm either better than or I'm less than.
Mm.
There's no I am just who I am.
That's
and
true.
So he was talking about how we need to you know, don't
that.
Allow yourself to compare, because the only result is I'm either better or I'm worse.
That is good.
That's so good.
And so you're either superior or
inferior.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really good. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
And so, yeah.
I love that. And especially in today's world with social media, you are comparing your whole life to their highlight.
To that one post.
To that one thing. Oh, look at them. They're having the greatest time. You know, we don't ever have good times like that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And we've told this story lots of times. We do this. We'll be on vacation, man. We spend all last summer. We went to Universal Studios all day in there. We're trying to get a picture in front of the Universal Studios fountain. Creed's not paying any attention. I'm screaming at him, "Creed, get your tail over here and smile. I want you to smile." You know, and so here we are. We pose, and I'm going to kill Creed. You know, I'm just like, I'm going to throw him in the Universal Studios fountain. And I was smiling, "Hey, having a great day out here. Having the best vacation. We hate each other right now."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what your comparison is not even accurate when you're comparing when you're comparing things with people, you know. And so, you know, it's just
I don't know that it went down quite that way, but if you see my phone, you see that I have probably taken 30 pictures to finally get the one, you know what I mean? That everybody's looking at the camera and we're smiling and you know what I mean? And so I do. I think it's so easy for me to compare my life up against you. And wait just a second. I can't compare. It's just kind of like even this trip. I think about it'd be easy for people to compare and be like, well, I wish we could do that. Wait a second. You can't compare because, wait, you've not walked what we've walked. You might get to do something completely different 6 months from now that I'm like, I wish I could do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we just can't compare because you don't know where those people have walked, what those people have done, what they have paid to be where they're at. And so rejoice with them and know, hey, I'm in the same line. If I'm following God, the truth is I'm in the same line, and if God will do it for them, he'll do it for me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so it makes me think of that meme, and if you're it's that meme where it says, don't be, and I may not be quoting it correctly, but basically it's talking about don't be the one that talks about your sister and tears her down, but be the one that rejoices with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not saying it right, but basically in order for you to be that type of person that's there to lift their arms up, to
yes.
be, to walk the walk with them, there can't be comparison, because if you're comparing again, you're either superior or you're inferior.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, something I've said over the last several years is, you can't compete with me because I want you to win. And so if I want you to win, then it's not about me being superior or me being inferior. No, 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 no. I want to lift you up, and I want to promote you, and I want to strengthen you, and I want to raise your hands up in the air like an Aaron and a Hur did for Moses, because I want you to win. And if you don't win, that means I don't win. And that's what I've said. God, help me to not ever get into comparison and competition, especially with women. Men is a little different, but women have that in us. Look at her and men of that. No, the truth is I want you to win. If you don't win, I don't win. What do I need to do to help you to win, for you to succeed? Because if you succeed, I succeed.
At the end of the day, we all have the same goal, you know?
Yeah.
We're all going the right direction. You know, we all want to bring people to Jesus, and, you know, we all want to work towards that, you know, loving people. We're all on the same team, you know.
Amen.
So. That's right. And what you were saying is if it came down to either I win or you win, I'm just going to let you win.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, have I always been like that? No. And will I always be? I hope. But that doesn't mean I'm, you know,
that's
doesn't
right.
mean I'm not
going
to, I might miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I've done that, I apologize. Mm-hmm. But I want to be in a place to where if it comes down to whether I win or you win, you know what? I want you to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
my time will come.
That's right.
That's exactly
and
right.
And so
that's so
okay.
Because at the end, in the end, we all win, right?
Yeah.
In the end, we all win. And it's you see this in churches where, especially in localities and different places, you know, a church can think, well, if they got a lot of people, then that means that's less people for me. Well, that's not. There's all kind of people all over this region. If every church in the entire panhandle, and if every church in the entire state of Texas was full to overflowing, there would still be lots and lots of people that didn't know Jesus. So our job is to go and proclaim the good news, to show love, to show grace, to tell the truth, and to let people know, hey, there is hope, there is opportunity, and God will connect you with the right people. And that's not just in church life, it's in your professional life,
yes.
It's in your family life, it's in your married life. If you just love, tell the truth, do the right thing, things come your way. And here's the other thing, no one can stop it. Because when God puts his hand of blessing on somebody, it don't matter if everybody else wants you to fail. If God's hand's on your life, you're going to win.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter if everybody else is winning. You will win.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay in the game. Stay in the same line, like Sonia said. Stay in the same line. You will win. You will come out on top. And God will bless your life. But we get into these competitions. And, I mean, my boys do it all the time. We can compliment Blaze on something and say, man, you really did a good job today at church. You just were really worshiping. You just were really connected. And agree, what about me? No, you were in timeout five times in the classroom. she doesn't do that. But you understand what I'm saying? We always tend, when we see someone else blessed, our first reaction, because the enemy is, why didn't that ever happen for me? Just hang out, buddy. Your time's coming.
That's right.
Your day's about to be here. Don't quit, because God, when he puts his hand on you, just like Joseph, okay, you look at all the stuff. He went to the pit. God was with him. He went to the Potiphar's house, and he was blessed. I mean, you talk about up and down life, right? His father's favorite, boom, down in the pit. Then he's up in Potiphar's, running Potiphar's house. Oh, he gets falsely accused, down the pit. You talk about a roller coaster life, but what did Joseph do? He kept the faith. He stayed in the game. He ended up ruining the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we think we're in the hole. Well, what am I doing wrong? What did Joseph do wrong? Nothing.
Nothing. And went to jail.
Nothing. He
yeah.
went to jail. Went to prison. Got
yeah.
thrown in a pit. Got disowned by his brothers. What did he do wrong? Not a thing. That's maybe where you are. So many times we ask ourselves, well, what am I doing to open the door for the devil? Maybe nothing. Maybe God is strategically, now God doesn't bring the pit opportunities, but He'll use them to position us in the right places,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He'll use them. And so what if you're in this valley tonight, but hey, God's about to promote you, tomorrow you're going to rule the whole thing.
That's right.
So many times we try to react, well, that is not treating me right. Wait, God's not done with you yet. He's not finished till you win. So you just stay in it. You stay with it. And you watch and see if God doesn't open up another door or move somebody else out of the way that's causing the problem, causing the issue. Now, we don't wrestle against people. We always wrestle against
that's
principalities
right.
and powers. But God can move things out of the way to get you to where you're going. You don't have to manipulate it or make it happen. God will promote you and put you in a place that you just wouldn't be able mm-hmm. to imagine. And we just have to know that. We just have to just stay in that. Don't get into comparison. Don't get into envy. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Just stay in the same line and you'll get there.
And if you find yourself in the middle of that where you are
yeah.
doing those things, it's okay. It's never too
Absolutely.
Late to step back and say, you know what?
Amen.
I'm going to step back. I'm not going to compare myself anymore. I'm not going to be in that competition. But I'm only going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to move forward. And as you were talking about that, about the story of Joseph, you know, it made me think of a saying that you talk about a lot that your grandma said. And it's, if
yeah.
you can fall into a bucket of poop and come out smelling like a rose.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I mean, you do what God tells you to do
mm-hmm.
and just keep doing it. And no matter what people are saying or doing around you, you
uh-huh.
just keep doing it, and you're going to come out smelling like a rose.
You will.
And the Bible says that He will vindicate us. That means we don't have to do it for ourselves of trying to justify and trying to set it up. No. Just let God go in and do what God does best and let Him vindicate us. And guess what? Then we come out on top, just like Joseph. In the end, he came out on top.
That's right.
That's right.
And, you know, just as I hear you guys talk about this, I know this is, when you guys are saying this, y'all have lived that, and I've seen that in your life. And when you moved to Wheeler, was it 02 or 03? I forget which year. It's either 02 or 03.
02.
02. And no matter what, here we are in 2023. You've always said yes to God. You've had obstacles, and here we are in 2023, and now look at where your ministry is at, and I just think it's amazing, and that you are a worthy example to tell us, you know, hey, look, just keep saying yes, and it'll all work out.
It does. It really does, every single time. And you know, the whole Bible is full of those stories of people that just are saying yes, right? And just does. I just wish you could get everybody to believe it. Stay in the game.
Yes.
Keep saying yes, and you will never regret it.
And there's going to be hard moments. There's going to be those difficult moments of, God, is this what you called me to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this what I'm to be doing? And the truth is you watch God do what only God can do if you just keep saying yes, and you keep saying yes, and you keep showing up. And 21 years later, here we are. You know what I mean? And I think about our first service here. There were six of us in the building. It was me and Aaron and my little brother who lived with us, and then David, Melba, and their grandson. The first service, and needless to say, and then y'all came not long thereafter. But you know, if it had to be cleaned, we cleaned it. If it had to be mowed, we mowed it. If you had to teach it, you taught it. That's exactly right. And I look today and I think, look what God has done. But really, had we have given up sooner, you know, where would it be? And maybe God would have raised somebody else up. So I'm not saying it's not about us too. But it is about just staying in it, just staying faithful where God has you.
And what God intended for the Mercers may not be what He intends for somebody
Absolutely.
Else. And so that's where you cannot compare.
That's right.
You just do what God tells you to do, nothing more and nothing less.
That's right.
You know, and as we're talking about this, you know, in confidence, within the last couple of days, I've been talking to you guys, you know, and we kind of get into a situation like, why am I in, where am I at? Why am I going in the direction that I'm going in? Why am I being led this way? And I would just about imagine that our listeners have probably done the same
mm-hmm.
thing. And yeah, it's hard. I mean, sometimes things happen and we don't like it, and you feel like things are just being, poked at you and prodded, and you don't want to do it, but you feel like God's led you there. And so I just really want to encourage our listeners. I know exactly how you feel. 100%. That there, you feel like sometimes you're just being beat up out there doing what God wants you to do, but don't let the enemy come in and try to steal that from you by lying to you and telling you that you're not where you need to be.
And honestly, I mean, here we've been in ministry all these years, for 25 years, and Aaron was in it before we got married, so 26 years. And I'd be lying if I said it's all been just, you know, wonderful things and, you know,
party all the time and having a good time. Yeah,
absolutely. But I'll never forget, four or five years ago, I remember looking at Aaron and saying, Aaron, I want out. I want out of ministry. I want out of Wheeler. I want out of Texas. And if you know me, I am Texan through and through. I don't want to leave the state of Texas. I love Texas. But I wanted to get as far away as I could. And Aaron said, well, let's just pray. And he said, because I think if we make a decision right now, you're going to regret it in 6 months or a year. And I'm so grateful to have him. You know what I mean? Because I was just going through a hard spot at that moment. Today, I'm so grateful that he didn't say, okay, let's go. And you know what I mean? And then off we went. And I was so grateful that he was able to just stand and say, let's not make a rash decision at this moment. And sometimes we can make those rash decisions. I'm not making enough money. I'm not, you know what I mean? Things are not happening the way I think they should be happening. And I've got this person coming against me, whatever it is. And I just think, man, if you stay in it. And really, in our early days of ministry, we didn't have two dimes to rub together. As a matter of fact, we talk about it today and think, how did we pay our bills? I mean, how did those bills get paid?
God.
Yeah, it was God. It was simply God. Because honestly, we never had a disconnect notice or anything like that. But we did not have the money, per se, to pay just the simple. It wasn't that we were going out to eat. We were not buying fancy things. We just did not have the money, but somehow God took
care of it. To pay regular utilities and things that you had to have.
Rent, your just basic necessities. And I think somehow it happened every month. Month after month, God took care of us. That's because God's God. You know what I mean? But had we even jumped out of that and we would have went to work wherever else, guess what? It don't mean that those problems don't go with us. The fact is no. Go and be, do what God's called you to do and be who God created you to be, because that's where the true satisfaction comes from.
You know, I think about, you know, talking about going through those times of, you know, not having what you need, or, you know, not knowing how that you were getting your bills paid, or, you know what I mean, but God always came through. And not to pick on you, Presley, but what it makes me think of is when you were going through college. And
yeah, that was a time.
And some things you did not tell your mother until later, which broke my heart as a mother. But, you know, would you say that you probably struggled a little bit going through college?
Oh, definitely. You know, money was tight for sure. And, you know, but it's so funny that you talk about it, because every time you and Dad come over, or, you know, Nanny and Papa, they always bring canned food over. So I knew at the end of the day, you know, if I needed food, then, you know, I had the canned food, which I think is what you're talking
open
about.
Open up probably a can of green beans.
I lost my job my final semester of nursing school. The hospital at Sayre closed down, so I was completely jobless. And at that time, you know, you had to pay for, it was nursing school, so you had to pay for your nursing pin, your cap and gown, you know, all these things. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm just working a part-time job, but somehow I had a bill that was completely paid. I had a month where, I don't know, I owed nothing on my electric bill. God really did bless me through that. My car, I remember, messed up, and I needed something under the hood or whatever. It was a part. Anyway, I couldn't afford it, obviously, and woke up one morning, and I went out there, and the part was just there, and my car was working, and I'm just like, you know, God was just watching over me through that time, you know, and but yeah, you're definitely right. It was rough, but God's got me through that, you know, college and
then, you know, I think about that, and as a mom, I'm like, why did you tell me? But do you think that because you experienced some of that, because now you're a nurse, and I believe, you know, I'm your mom, but I believe you're a successful nurse, and so now you're a nurse, and do you think that going through that time that it might have changed something within you, or God was able to use that in a good way.
Yes, and I was actually talking to my boyfriend today about that. You know, I feel like some people maybe, it may be hard for people, I think, to trust God, like, you know, oil fields up and down, so you're going to lose your job. So maybe some people have a hard time trusting God because they can't really look back and remember, you know, that time when he did do it, he'll come through again, you know. So I think that does help sometimes when I feel like maybe I'm struggling right now, but then you remember, you know, God's like, remember, I did that for you. You know, I'll do it for you again, you know. You know, you don't have to worry about money or whatever. So I do think that helps, you know, because you can always look back. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people haven't had the experience with God, you know, may struggle and really worry when they lose their job, but you know, you're able to look back and think, you know, he did it then, he'll do it now again, you know.
That's right.
It definitely did help out, you know, in the future, and definitely, but he got me through that, so here I am, you know, it was all
gone.
Even getting into school and everything, God was there with me through it all, you know.
And now he's getting you through everything else.
Yes, he is. He's so good.
I'm so thankful that he spoke to you to come to Wheeler, because I know
who knew I would ever come back.
I knew I couldn't speak it, so I'm glad God did that for me.
Was working in that. That's the only way I can say I got back to Wheeler.
Immersives are great.
Oh man.
Shoot, we got a whole family here that's so glad that she's here. Well, you know. Some of the stuff that we're talking about, it may have struck a chord with some of our listeners, and we just want to encourage you that it's okay. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. Just look to him and he'll take care of it. I mean, to hear Presley talk about how God just took care, fixed your car and just took care of bills that you didn't even know. I mean, you didn't even know how it got done, but they got done, and that's how God works. And we just want to encourage you tonight, but also we want to pray for you. And so if I could get somebody that'd be willing to just pray for our listeners, that look, you know what, we're going to move forward, we're not going to compare ourselves, we're going to do what God tells us to do, and we're not going to allow the world to scare us and try to shut us out.
That's good.
Hey, and real quick before we pray, let me just say this, just being with the Thomases so many years, for people out here listening on this radio station, and your kids might be having a struggle, might be having an issue, whether they're still in your home, whether they're not in your home, don't be so quick to take the difficulty away from your kids. Mm-hmm. Difficulty is good. It teaches them to trust God. Presley wouldn't have known how to do that if she hadn't learned that before she got out on her own. So I am the world's worst about taking when I see my kids under attack or having an issue. I'm like, get over here, I will fix it. You know what I mean? But don't be so quick to do that. Let God do his work. It may be looking like your child is in the pit, but they're about to be promoted to the palace.
That's good.
So let God have his work in them. And then if he speaks to you, do what he tells you to do. But he's working with them. Just like he got you through things, he's going to get your kids through things.
Amen.
So let him work.
Well, before you pray, this makes me think of a story, and I hope Presley would be willing to tell it. But do you remember the first time you learned how to change a tire?
Oh, man, I don't know. You have to
remember
this.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Although I knew I was not allowed to drive. My father said I could not drive until I knew how to change a tire. I can imagine how the story goes.
Well, I remember your tire being flat, but I don't know if you knew it or not, but you had drove it over to this pasture to, I don't know if you were coming to help us work or what, and your tire was flat, and your dad told you that you needed to go change your tire.
That's about right.
Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that, and I feel like I did struggle, didn't I?
You struggled very much so. And so here you are on this country road by yourself. We're all over on about a mile away watching you, trying to figure out.
Of course. I feel like didn't Dad come help me or something, or did I eventually get it all?
Well, I think he did eventually come help you and show you, but that was one thing is you're going to learn how to change a tire.
I can tell you today I can change a tire by golly.
That's good. That's a good thing.
That's not good.
I love that.
That's why I love James so much. He's so much like my dad. That's why I'm so close to him. When I was 18 years old, I had a flat tire going home from Borgerstonette. And it was 18, 19. I don't remember, but I was trying to change his tire. But the lug nuts were too tight. I just did not have the strength to break these lug nuts. So I called my dad on the cell phone. You know, it's 11 o'clock at night, whatever. He picks up the phone. And I say, "Dad, I need help. I can't change this tire." And he says, "Who's this?" And I said, "This is Aaron." "Aaron who?" I said, "Aaron Mercer." He said, "My 18-year-old son, Aaron?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And all I hear is click. If you can't figure it out, you're in trouble. You know, but those are the things that made me and gave me the confidence. Like, well, you figure it out. You do it. You know, and luckily a friend coming that was with me in Borger saw me and came and helped me, and the Lord provided, but no thanks to my dad.
You know, I think sometimes people look at that and they think, well, how cruel. Yeah. How cruel of a parent are you? But you know what? That was not cruel at all. If anything, that was love.
That's right.
Because through that love, you know, by not willing to help, you know what I mean, and let them figure it out on their own, you taught them something.
That's right.
And really, sometimes as parents, we get in the way.
Yeah.
And we can get in the way, and God has to take them back around that mountain, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And so sometimes we need to stay out of the way.
That's right.
All right, well, we want to pray for you tonight.
All right. Well, listen, we do that, Lord, and we just gather around this table, all of us in agreement, for all of those listening tonight, whether they're listening live right now or they're going back into an archive in whatever day it may be that they're listening to it. As I'm praying this prayer, Lord, I pray that you would visit them and you would let them know, my hand is on your life. And if you're out there tonight and you don't know the Lord and you're not sure if His hand is on you, He came, He died for you, He shed His blood for you, He was buried for you, and He was raised from the dead for you. And you can call out to Him just in your own heart. Just say, "Lord, I need you. I'm asking you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior." You pray that prayer from your heart and God will do that. He'll reveal Himself to you. But Lord, for those that are walking through hard times and going through difficulty, Lord, just give them the strength to run to you. Give them the strength to call out to you, Lord, right now, wherever they are. Help them to call out to you. And Lord, I'm praying for all the parents that are listening to this program that have wayward kids or kids that are struggling, whether they're in the home or they've already moved on and are struggling in their own life or going through some things. I'm praying you're putting families back together.
Yes.
You're causing children to run back to Jesus. And that no matter what has happened, whether there's been wrongful things, abuse, different things that have happened in people's families and lives, Lord, bring your healing presence to them right now and help them to know that you've not forgotten them. You have not left them alone. You have not left them orphans. But right now, you're here. You're available, and this is their invitation to call out to you. I pray you would give them the strength to do it. If you're out there and you're a child and you hadn't talked to your mom and dad, you pull over to the car and you call them.
That's right.
Right now, wherever you are, you take this moment to push pause. If this is an archive show, push pause and call your mom right now and tell her you love her. And just let God's healing presence come into this place, come into wherever you may be, because God's not done with you. God's not finished until you win. I hope you'll let Him bring victory into your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so here we are. We're about to be going into summer. School is out, so y'all have any bucket list things going on for this summer? I see some wide eyes, not so much. Mine is just get some sleep.
Hey, I would love to put that on my list. Lord have mercy.
The Thomas family has, I feel like, planted a massive garden.
I was going to say that. I'm excited to see, reap what we sow, and see what else is going to grow. And it may overtake, but, you know, we may have a whole bunch of stuff, but we won't go hungry.
You know, I'm laughing because when we were in the garden the other day, and there were several of us, and we were pulling weeds and tilling, you know, kind of getting it, you know, cleaned up a little bit. And Coy says, this is one of those things, you have a slow reward. Is that how you said it?
Something like that, yeah.
Basically saying that you don't see the benefits of your labor until later.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yes.
Definitely, for sure. So I accidentally, and we've got potatoes, and I accidentally, when we're pulling weeds, is I dug up a little potato. And so it was about, you know, the size of a quarter. And so I was, see, look, everybody, it is growing. We're going to have so many potatoes. Y'all are going to love it. But, yeah, that's what it is. It's just about living life. You know, I think that sometimes people get the idea of being a Christian, it's just this special way to live, or, you know, it's just loving God. Wake up, okay, God, what is for today? You know, what do you have for today? What can we do today? What can I do for today? Do for you today? And what is it, Aaron, that you said? I say every morning,
I say, Lord, how do you want to use me today to bless someone? And how do you want to bless me today? That's what I pray every morning.
That's good.
Because I want to bless somebody every day, and I want to be open, and I want to expect God's blessings to be flowing into my life.
Well, and I think what happens is you begin to put your road in motion, begin to put your map in place.
That's
okay,
right.
I'm going to start out today, Lord, that I can be a blessing to others.
I'm opening myself to the blessings you're bringing into my life.
Yes.
And I'm expecting your blessings.
Which I think is really good, because as you're saying that, I thought, because how often are we blessed? We walk in the midst of a blessing, but we don't see it because we're not open to it. But we've been blessed. And so how many times in our life have we overlooked the small things that's happening day after day after day?
Mm-hmm. So, that's right. Well, I was reading this. I've been going through this. It's a 48 lesson discipleship. Mm-hmm. And I think I had told you about this a couple of days ago. But one of those particular lesson I'm thinking about is it talked about the kingdom, and that Jesus came to preach the kingdom. And one of the definitions it gave of the kingdom is the kingdom is actually people who are following God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kingdom is.
Yeah.
And so I think about that, you know, wake up every morning. That's being a part of the kingdom choosing to say, okay, I'm following you today, God.
Yes.
I want to be in the kingdom. I want to spread the news of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, one of the things that I really try to do, it's hard sometimes, but I try to live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I started realizing that I'm always trying to get through something. Well, if we can just get through the school year. Oh, dear God, when is school going to start? And then, if we can just get through the holidays. We're just getting through stuff instead of just, hey, be here. Whatever here is, be in this moment right now. And it just makes everything slow down. I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, the quicker things are moving. And so I want to slow it down and just be in the moment, right? And so that's what I'm trying
to do. Enjoy that moment, even if it's not the best moment.
Yeah.
It makes me think about what Paul says. He says, I have learned to be content in any and every situation,
whether
I'm well-fed, or living in plenty,
in
hungry, or living in lack, or living in, you know,
blessing.
Yes. And so wherever you're at in that moment, like Aaron said, whether it's plenty or in lack,
Live in the moment.
I love it.
And see God in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, with that being said, we're about to run out of time here. Do you guys have any last closing thoughts or anything else you want to add to this? I mean, it was so good to have you guys here tonight. I love it when I have me some Mercers and Presley with me.
Well, really, just get out there and enjoy summer. You only get 18 of them with your kids, and then it's a little more difficult. You have to beg God to bring them back to Wheeler.
That's right. Hey, I'm a testimony of it.
That's right.
There you go.
It happens.
That's right. Yeah, so we just want to say we hope that you have a good week this week. We have a good, blessed night of rest. And we also want to remind you that if you want to check out our website, we have our website at sundaynightlive.org. And also, on that website, there is a link to Cornerstone Church, which is where Aaron and Sonia pastor, and that is also to my home church and Presley's home church, and we love those people, and if you are ever in the area, we would sure like to invite you to come in and join us and worship with the Lord, worship with us, and I know that through the Wednesday nights to the summer are off for now, but so we're Sunday mornings for now, but we just want you to be blessed and be encouraged tonight and know that God's with you no matter what. Whether you see Him in it, He is working. Just stay the course.
That's right.
And you will see and you will be blessed.
Amen.
And so we just want to say have a blessed night, a good week, and we will talk to you guys next week.